We're going to call to order the special board meeting of the Board of Registration for Professional Engineers and Land Surveyors. For the first time operating as a separate state agency, which I'm going to go into a little bit of an introduction, a little bit of a thank you to kind of everybody that's been involved in getting us to this point. If my iPad will do what I want it to, and it currently is not doing what I want it to. There it goes.
August 8th, 2019.
We're August 8th, 2019, 8 o'clock in the Elizabethan room of the Davenport Historic Hotel is where we're meeting. So to go through, as everybody knows, this is our first meeting as a technically as a separate state agency. A lot of hard work went into it, and we've got a little bit of some thank yous to do in getting us here. The big one, a lot of thank yous. DOL staff helped out quite a bit in this process. Teresa Bernstein, Jennifer Clausen, Phil White, and Rick Storvick all contributed massively in their time to get us the new interagency agreement going. Especially want to thank Vonna and Sherry for keeping on while this whole process has been going through. Also, there are a lot of others that and other agencies that helped us out. Paul Batar has been a massive help from DES. Claire Goodwin over at Ways and Means has been great with some numbers. She is phenomenal in her ability to do stuff. The accountancy board staff members have been great advisors to Ken in working through kind of how things need to come together. Elizabeth, and you're always being supportive of the board and getting the interagency agreement going literally at the last minute, almost it seemed.
Last minute, minus 10.
Jill and Shannon as our first employees of the board. So, and that will hopefully expand. We'll get help going.
Find the room.
Jim Wangler's representative to the legislature, Senator Vandeweghe, who also happens to be my brother, in getting this the first bill introduced and then figuring out a way to make it happen, even though that first bill got stalled out. Of course, all the board members who have put in, I think, a lot more time than they're anticipating in the last couple of months. And then last but not least, Ken, who probably had no idea what he was signing on for. He has taken the bull by the horns and just done superbly with really, really no way to, I mean, we invented the process as we went. So it was sometimes getting multiple conflicting data and sorting through it and making sure we had a good path forward. So I want to thank everybody that was involved. So, on that end, we got one more thank you to do. We've got the chair that guided us through the whole process last year. We've got a plaque for you, Jim.
Last, yes, the last Borbles chair. Borbles. Instead of Borbles.
Yes.
The last Borbles chair.
Chair. Yeah, no kid.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
All right, so next on the agenda, we have distributed the order of the agenda, the board packet. Oh, right. Okay, got it. We'll go through introductions of everybody here. We'll start over with Vaughna and go around the tables.
Vaughna Kramer, board staff. Janet Wilson, board staff. Sherry Newell, board staff.
Mm-hmm. Maybe not, but board member.
Aaron Blaisdell, board member.
Ivan Vandeweg, board member.
Ken Fuller, staff.
Elizabeth Lauterberg, assistant attorney general.
Dan Clark, pro tem member of the board.
Doug Hendrickson, board member.
James Wengler, board member.
Steve Trope, board member.
Marjorie Munn, board member.
Jill Short, staff.
All right. Okay, order of the agenda. Do we need a motion to accept the agenda that was distributed?
So made.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. The agenda is accepted. All right, moving along. We've got three sets of draft minutes to approve for three different meetings. The first is the June 20th meeting. Do I have a motion to accept those draft minutes?
So moved.
Second. Marjorie. Discussion?
I have one deletion on 9.1.3.
Okay.
It reads as non-paragraphs on the screen. I would like to change to Seattle University Civil Engineering Teams. 9.1.3.
Okay.
Seattle University Civil Engineering Teams.
Okay.
You may wish to, if I may, you may wish to put spelling of her last name in that same item.
No, I don't want my name there.
Oh, so you want your name out and civil?
Name out and Seattle U Civil Engineering.
Okay.
That would do it.
That would be better.
That's how it should be.
Okay.
I also have a suggestion that we change the board member absent to board member excuse for Stevie Schroep.
Okay.
Do we need excuses?
There's usually no excuse for Steve, but.
I have this little list of things that you can do after certain periods of time, like you're not supposed to rake leaves until after 12 weeks. And it did say there are no board meetings for.
Doctor's excuse.
But what about cases?
that's a month. I mean, that's 4 months.
Yeah. It took my brain a while to figure that out.
All right. Any other additions, corrections to July 20?
June 20.
Oh, June 20. None. Do we have to amend that?
They have to accept the movers need to accept those as friendly amendments.
Okay. Do the movers accept those as friendly amendments?
I do.
Okay. So, all those in favor of the amended motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Moving on to the July 22nd meeting. Do I have a motion to accept those?
So made.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Hearing none.
Oh. agenda, or should it be minutes in that? I don't know.
It's minutes.
Do you have the writing as minutes? No, you always have it as agenda. Even the minutes have the title as agenda.
Agenda.
So that's fine.
Okay. All those in favor?
All right.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion passed. All right, moving on to the third one, the July 24th meeting. Do I have a motion to accept those minutes?
I'll move to accept those minutes.
Second.
Any discussion?
We don't have anything here. But
yeah.
We only have the agenda there.
Yeah, we basically only did one.
Yeah, there was no action or minutes to it. It was just the agenda. Is that those are minutes, right, Sherry?
Yeah.
Is it on the back?
But it's not in our packet that way.
Oh, okay.
So this is supposed to be
minutes
yeah. And not agenda? It's not supposed to say agenda?
Right. It just doesn't have the language on it.
Can they be read?
We're going to read that into the record.
And the heading is also wrong. Yeah. It should be special board meeting minutes and not special board meeting agenda.
Yes,
sir.
Yeah. Wait.
Okay.
She noted that.
So I, if it would be appropriate, I could read them out loud.
Well, why don't you read them into the record?
Okay. So this is the meeting minutes from the July 24, 2019 special board meeting. It was at 3 o'clock. And it was a phone call meeting with an open public forum at the Department of Licensing Black Lake office, room 2108. And present were Ivan Vandeway, Aaron Blaisdell, Stephen Schroep, Doug Henderson, Marjorie Lund, Jim Wangler, and Mimi. And the staff members were Ken Fuller, Elizabeth, Sherry Honeywell, Jill Short, Vanna, and Shannon. And we had a guest in the room that was Sarah Pittman. So item one was called to order, which was at 3:05, and the board members and staff and guests introduced themselves. Item two was the Department of Licensing and Board of Registration for Professional Engineers and Land Surveyors Interagency Agreement Discussion and Action. Mr. Vandeway recommended the board approve approve Mr. Vandeway signing the Statement of Work 1 and Interagency Agreement once finalized. A motion by Mr. Henderson was made. The motion board to approve the authorization of the chair of the interagency agreement is written in substantive terms with anticipation the final copy will be updated editorially. Mr. Blaisdell seconded the motion and it passed. Mr. Vandeway recommended the board approve the board statement of work number one. Mr. Wangler made a motion to accept the board statement of work number one and Ms. Mimi seconded the motion and it passed. The meeting was adjourned at 3:42 p.m. The next meeting would be today, here. That's it.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
I move that we approve the minutes as read.
Yes. Well, we had a first and second already. Who, Aaron, you first?
Yeah.
First that one.
You first. Doug and Jim.
Doug and Jim. So do you guys accept those as friendly amendments?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So then we need to vote. All those in favor of accept...
Could we make sure that that's posted on the web?
Yeah.
On the proceed.
Yes, we will post that.
Yeah.
We'll pass the minutes. Yeah. Okay, all those in favor of passing the motion as amended... Say aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay, motion passes.
Good call, Mimi and Elizabeth. Thank you.
Okay, moving on to item number two of the agenda, interagency relations. We've got to go over our DOL bore pulls, and we got to eliminate the O, apparently, now.
We can still call ourselves when we want to, but the domain name won't. Yeah.
Interagency agreement. Do you want to kick that off?
Before, Mr. Chair, do we have nothing for 1.4 and 1.5?
You know, if I could figure this out, that would be great.
that's what I'm here for, buddy.
So moving on to 1.4, which, if I could read my agenda correctly, we should have moved on to. Review of communications. What have we, any communications?
I think there were a few things in committees, but I don't think there's anything new.
Anything new for the board? Okay. Moving on to 1.5. We don't have any public people here, so we'll just skip over that one. Okay. Now moving on to number 2, our interagency agreement.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So in your packets are the executed forms of the interagency agreement as well as statement of work 1. I believe that all the board has had a chance to review that and discuss if there's any open items or discussions or questions about that. We're certainly open for that right now. That's appropriate. I don't think there are any. So the next step of this will be statement of work number 2, which will, as we'll be working, moving forward, just taking a look at that and negotiating those items as we move forward. And you guys will all be available, I'm sure, in another special meeting to discuss where we are sitting with that. That's appropriate. Yeah. Any questions?
Remind me what, I mean, I remember the statement work 1 because we went with our agreement, but the statement work 2 in general will encompass.
Right, so right now we're in a couple-month duration transition state of working with DOL on what costs they're inclusive of the payment to them. And that's been signed, and we'll be moving through that for several months. Statement of work 2 will be the more permanent level, I guess, not permanent, but more the next stage of the work statement as we move through and take things and take Borpal's direct control of those.
More transitional stuff.
And those will be the negotiation of that cost and what services DOL provides versus what services Borpal's direct or we hire out with other agencies as it seems fit. So that will be statement of work 2. And we're in the process of going through that, yeah.
So the ideal situation is that de-scope happens, meaning DOL is the provider here and they will be providing less services and, you know, in the next scope, and it should, I mean, ideally the cost should go down.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. One thing we talked about, and we want to probably clarify that in Statement of Work 1, there was the costs that were in the spreadsheet anticipate the new cost of, or the updated cost of Polaris, which is the $1.837 million.
$1.837 million? Yeah.
Right. So that is, although we originally, back in, I think it was October of last year, we went and approved $1.5 million for Polaris. With the new statement of work that we did with the interagency agreement, we basically acknowledged that Polaris now costs $1.8 million. And it's all built, it's built into the budget, but it is one of those things that we're going to be paying for at the new cost level. So just want to make sure we kind of all knew that was what we voted for when we voted for it.
Yeah, and the duration of those, that first cost. I'm sorry. The duration of the first cost will be only for this biennium. And then we'll have ongoing maintenance costs thereafter, and the, but the cost will reduce significantly after this biennium, this fiscal biennium.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, would it be okay if we all got kind of an updated, this is current state budget with the updated numbers of Polaris?
Yes. Yep.
Just
we can send
we'll start.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just
so we have
that spreadsheet that.
This spreadsheet is.
Yeah, it was attached to the interagency.
Yeah.
Is that the appendix 1.1?
Yes.
That's
yeah.
So we'll get. I mean, just so we.
Yeah.
You know, going forward, we have these.
That's an action item. I will. Okay. Paul Bitar and I have been working on. We'll talk about this later, but yes, we'll get that information to you.
Cool.
And this would be something that you could put on your intranet site, so you know, board-facing site, so that people could look at it at any time and remember what it says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All righty.
Is that all?
I think that's it.
Okay.
I'm open to questions or anything.
Anybody? Any more questions under the agency agreement?
No, just not.
Okay. All right, moving on to 2.2, update on board staffing and potential org chart.
Okay, so officially Jill and Shannon's position and Jill and Shannon filling those positions have moved into direct to the board, so thank you, we've talked that already. Secondly, your executive director currently is now as an interim position, a temporary position, and I believe the recruitment for that position is now open until August 19th, Shannon, is that correct? Or something like that. It was August 8th, but I think they extended it out for recruitment purposes. And, we are working with the HR lead recruitment team for DES. We have the position description for the executive administration assistant. And that should be on the street here in the next week, advertised. If you'd like copies of that for internal use or passing that out to people that you feel might fit, certainly that's available. And our hope is to interview potentially in the September timeframe. And so we'll be working with it for interview panel there from the board members. Depending on dates for folks that are any new board members that are interested. And that we are finishing up the details on the deputy director position description. And there's right now we're moving to, with the Office of Financial Management HR group on determining if that position could be an exempt position or a WMS position. It's still in the thought pattern. I'm attempting to get it into an exempt level. It gives it a little bit more flexibility for the board. However, the way the OFM structure is, it may need to remain a WMS position. So that's any questions or comments about that?
What does WMS stand for?
It's the Washington Management System. It's for management level positions. It's not called classified, so they're not represented. It's not a represented position by the union, but it is through an organizational methodology of how they manage the positions, I guess, in the organization.
So that position can't be filled until we finish the description of the position?
It cannot be filled until it gets approved. And once approved, my thought is, and board, we've discussed this a few times, but I don't think it needs official action. What I'd like to do is appoint a temporary in that position. And with the WMS position, we can appoint up to 1 year without going through large interview process. And it would be a temporary position to start with, and then it would be go out for competition, advertise, and compete for that position later on.
So when do we anticipate that that will start?
I'm hoping early September. Yep. just the, my goal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Thank you, Ken.
All right. Is that it? Any questions with any other questions? Okay. All right, moving on to committee reports. Going to report on an executive committee, which we've, for a large part, just covered. But in executive committee, we had, where are my notes? There we go. We had myself, Aaron Blaisdell, and Jim Wengler attending for board members, and then support staff were Ken Fuller, Elizabeth Lagerberg, Jill Short, Vonna Kramer, and Shannon Gillespie. We basically talked about the current statement of work and that it's going to be going on for about the next 3 months to possibly six, right? And what we need to do for looking at the next statement of work and negotiating with DOL for the for statement of work number two. We discussed the board staffing positions, which Ken just went over. We've got an EA position that is pretty much ready to go out, and a deputy director position that's being worked on and will be completed shortly. And then our budget, Paul Pitar from DES is working with Ken on the budgeting issues, and they're in the process of getting that all finalized and worked through. Okay. So that is what we covered in executive. Are there any questions? We don't have any items that need to be voted on out of executive at this point in time. So just more informative. Questions? All right, moving along to the EQ committee.
Okay. Thank you. Discussion topics included that of an EIT application. Upon review of a foreign degree evaluation by NCES, the committee recommends to the board that the individual be approved to undertake the EIT examination with notice that our code provides only 2 years experience for the individual's education toward potential future PE examination. Upon review for an SE application, upon review of the of an application for examination, the committee recommends the board disapprove SE examination by an applicant on the basis of recommendation to set the scope and application of the applicant do not demonstrate responsible nor progressing charge. This does not satisfy the board's expectations of experience in structural engineering with regard to RCW 1843-40A3. We had discussion regarding the PE and SE application forms, the discussion of the content, and demonstrated responses to the forms leads the committee to recommend that the board direct initiation of CR 101 activities to revise WAC 196-12. The questions within the applications originate in WAC 196-12. With regard to WAC 196-20, revisions have been prepared by the 2018-19 EQ and are prepared for final consideration with new CR 101 issuance. EQ recommends the board direct CR 101 issuance in this regard. For WAC 196-26A and WAC 196-30, revisions have been prepared by the EQ from 2018-19 and are prepared for final consideration with new CR 101 issuance. The EQ recommends the board direct CR 101 issuance in this regard. EIT certificates. Staff raised a question dealing with cost of EIT certificate preparation. Under conditions, under circumstances of reproduction as well as initial certificates, given that the current code waives fees for such as these LSIT certificates and foreign degree evaluations, as the current CR 101 from 196A, 26A must be withdrawn and reissued for purples. Unsuspending these fees may be considered by the board for near-term action and is recommended by the committee. And we adjourn to Fisher through 3:30.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes as read?
So moved.
Report is read. Jim, second?
Second.
Discussion?
I wanted to just bring up one thing. About the letters that go out, I think you stated that there was going to be a statement in the letter that would count for 2 years of the toward the PE exam application, and I think my recommendation has been to completely disengage this process from anything that has to do with the PE exam, so you may want to draft some sort of statement that goes in every letter that says, you know, approval for this exam does not include approval of any element of the PE exam, which is a totally separate.
No, the discussion in that regard, if I can elucidate and reiterate, was that he had a number of years, the applicant had a number of years with education developed in Nigeria, substantively in an engineering technology program. So between the non-ABET and engineering technology, our code only provides for 2 years of educational credit for consideration of the PE examination, which is the objective of our statement in this regard.
I just didn't say anything in the letter about that.
And I think if you're right about not saying anything better, and I was kind of going back through some of that, the application for the FE, and it seemed to me that there was some sentence in the bottom of it that said, you know, attaining this is not necessarily directly related to being or being able to get a PE, something. There's something in that application, so maybe that covers
it. It might. I just don't want to say anything in a letter that, that includes any mention of the PE exam, as if some, you know, I don't want them, anybody to think that somehow this is an approval of years for the PE exam. Just
a letter will be drafted accordingly.
Yeah.
But I think that look at the application for FE. I think there's some kind of a statement in there that kind of as a caveat about the whole EIT process doesn't guarantee that you're on the road yet.
One item, though, that we need to think about, this may be a future discussion, is applicants want to know how much more time they have before they can actually make it a clean application for the PE exam. And so a lot of our work is really in advance to somebody gaining the full 8 years of experience as per the law. And so a lot of our work is trying to define that so they'll know when they can put their application together. And so I know that's a separate pathway.
Totally separate.
And so really maybe what we want to be able to do is provide something in advance of that potentially.
Yeah, but not as part of the, not anything as part of the EIT.
Okay,
EIT should be a completely separate process. Once it's done, and then they can move on to the PE, working toward the PE.
Right. So the question I have, maybe, and this could be in further discussion, is in the Polaris system, Donna, will there be ability to be able to track that type of, okay, we've as a board agreed that you now have your 4 or 8 years experience, and that can be tracked as an application process of going for their PE license. So someone will know, hey, I need 3 more years or 4 more years of experience or 2 more years or 6 more months or whatever, and they can keep track of that, not continuing on their own and not continuing to inquire with staff. Hey, did that, is that, where am I at? Okay.
How can Polaris say whether the experience is appropriate engineering experience?
Well, I'm not asking for Polaris to make that AI type of decision. What I'm asking for is our way that if we've agreed as a board, the board's agreed that that's equivalent to 2.5 years experience, that it shows that on Polaris, that that agreement was made. And I'm just looking for a way to make it easier for the applicant.
But I think over time, some things could change, and that might not be correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't really agree with
okay.
that.
We're going to have to be able to have communication with them, I believe, within the new system. There are comment sections that we can leave messages for the applicants or the licensees for what may be coming or what may be required. But I'll have to double check on that.
And I would not, again, I would, whatever you do, don't link it in any way.
To this letter, okay.
And don't link it to, they get this letter and then they can go on and see. Just, if they want to start pursuing the PE exam and there's some way that you guys want to handle that from the PE, license, then do that. But don't link it in any way to the EIT. Because the EIT, for one thing, right, people can go in and just apply directly to the national board. And so because they can do that, there'll be a vast amount of people that don't have anything at all in the system with respect to this application. So all you're going to get are those people that are kind of weird. And because they're a little bit odd and you're just approving them, you have the discretion to approve them. But that doesn't mean that you're calculating the number of years. It just means that you're using that discretion, deciding that it's good enough. But later on with the PE, you can be stricter and you can be, you don't want to say, well, in the EIT, you don't want them to be able to say, well, but in the EIT, you counted this toward years. No, we didn't. We looked at all of your things together and decided you had enough.
So as long as the Polaris system or a computer system has the ability to enter the date at which it passed an EIT exam.
That's it.
Just the date that they passed, that's
going to be in the system.
At least we know that as far as track.
Yeah.
But I have a question here. For this particular individual, we only gave 2 years because it was a non-EBIT accredited technology degree. And in another 5 years, let's say, the committee would have changed. How would they know that it was only given?
You didn't give him 5 years. That's not what you did.
No, she's talking in the future.
You're right, and I'm saying that you did not give him any years. You just looked at all the factors and decided he could take the exam. Totally separate from in the future. I mean, in your minds, you might have thought, well, that's 2 years, blah, 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 and decided. But that doesn't matter because later, when he goes, that's all you did was say, we are allowing you to pass. We're allowing you to take the EIT exam. You're not saying we gave you 2 years, we did anything. You just looked at the factors and said, you can take the exam. No records of why. And then later, it's a whole new ballgame when somebody applies. You want to be able to be stricter. So for the PE exam, or for the PE application. And so that's why I want to be really clear. And that's part of how we are drafting these WACs. I want to be really clear to applicants for the FE exam, but this is only to allow you to take the FE, and the board has these requirements, but it also has discretion, and in their discretion, they can make a decision. And in your minds, you can calculate, well, that's like 2 years, or you can calculate other factors like experience. But when it comes to the FE, the PE exam, that's when you want to start doing all those calculations and make that available to the applicant.
So I have another question. So if this individual calls one and asks, how many years did I get? How many years of experience do I need? Can one tell this person that
if it's straightforward, if it's straightforward, yes. But if it's complicated, I would say no. I would say, you know, the board has to make that determination at the time that you apply. And if you apply and the board decides, no, you don't have enough, then, you know, then that person's going to have to go back.
They can do it back at that point, too, if you're denied, correct? Find out? Right.
But again, I don't want you to track. I don't think it's a good idea to track years you've awarded for EIT, for FE, because we're trying to, for the EIT exam, because we're trying to distinguish that from applying for that. That is just an exam. And it's a minimum qualification to take the exam. So you've got people that absolutely qualify, and those are clear. But then you've got all these sort of wishy-washy things, and you might decide, like the discussion has been often, well, they're just going to take an exam, right? So you don't want to use that, and that's fair. Let them take the exam. But you don't want to use that discussion later when for the PE. For the PE, just forget about everything you've done before and just look at the record before you for the application. Just use the record that's before you.
Thank you, ma'am. Would the movers accept the friendly amendment to strike the clause dealing with notice in the approval letter?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Just a second. Who seconded?
I said to remove the clause that says with notice that our code provides, etc.
Okay.
It just stops at
approved and take.
Okay. So the amendment's been accepted.
You seconded.
Okay. I was just going to make one other comment. I think Doug mentioned it in the minutes, but maybe everybody didn't catch it. It was kind of a point with me, was that any CR-101s that we issued under DOL have to be reissued under our new administration. And I don't know that everybody else was aware of that, but it was kind of an interesting fact.
And that's why we're redoing all the CR-101s.
Yeah. I assume maybe practice committee might have encountered that as well, but I don't know.
I think that's sort of why I feel like I've had these discussions, but I think they've been separate because we have the practice committee that's been working on some WACs maybe, and then we have the letters that come in, and you talk about the letters as individuals. No? I feel like we have the discussion, and then we end up having the discussion again, so maybe not.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Wasn't my imagination.
All those in favor of accepting the committee report as amended, the EQ committee report as amended, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right. Moving on to our practice committee.
Practice committee met yesterday, August 7th. Board members present with myself as chair, Aaron Blaisdell and Marjorie Lund. Board members, staff, Ken Fuller, executive director, and Jill Short, investigations and compliance manager. There were no visitors. There were a total of 4 complaints, 2 engineer complaints, 2 unlicensed surveying complaints. For the compliance report, there are 3 individuals on compliance monitoring, James Bell, Richard Russum, Ed Spears, all professional answer theirs. All 3 individuals are currently in compliance with the terms of their board orders. action items in the committee was, number one, is communicate with Washington Association of Building Officials, WABO, about how to use our online licensing system. Ask all authorities having jurisdiction to encourage their members to verify licenses for all sealed documents submitted for approval. Number two is the practice committee is considering developing some type of database for responses to email questions. We discussed that a little bit yesterday. And the PC will review board policies assigned to them at the next meeting. That's the report.
Okay. Do I have a motion to accept the report?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay, all those in favor of accepting the report, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passed. All right, now we're going to go into executive session, and that we don't have any public here. We won't need to excuse anybody, but I'll read into the record. Pursuant to RCW 42.30.110 and for the purposes set forth therein, the board will move into closed session portion of the meeting to consult with the board attorney, discuss disciplinary matters, and hear reports concerning violations of law or regulations. The closed executive session will last 50 minutes. Once the closed executive session concludes, the board will take a 10-minute break and reconvene open session. It is now 8:50, and we will reconvene at 9:50. Okay, we're in open session. It is 9:52. We are going to. Do I have to reread that? That stuff.
You can. I'll reread it. Repeat it to repeat what we said before.
Okay. Again, pursuant to RCW 42.30.110, and for the purposes set forth therein, the board will move into closed session portion of the meeting to the meeting to consult the board attorney, discuss disciplinary matters, and hear reports concerning violations of the law or regulations. The closed executive session will last 30 minutes. Actually, let's do 40 minutes. Once the closed executive session concludes, we'll just go back into open session. We won't take a break. So, we're at 9:53. Let's call it. We'll go into open session at 10:30. All right, it is 10:30 on the dot, and we are back in open session. We're going to move into item number 4, disciplinary activity. And new board orders.
We have no new board orders for this day, Mr. Chair.
Okay. 4.2, recommended closures.
Cases recommended for closure. The first case is number 2018-10-0001-00ENG, and it is Mr. Blaisdell's case.
This complaint is regarding unlicensed practice. Pursuant to 1843 RCW, the respondent in this case is not registered as a professional land surveyor in Washington. The respondent is a forester. The complainant believes the respondent is practicing without a license. When contacted by the board, the respondent provided supporting backup information that explained why he's not licensed land surveyor, nor is he actively practicing land surveying. From the correspondence provided to the board, as part of the investigation, it appears the respondent uses terminology and methods which are consistent to those used by licensed land surveyors for the analysis of determining a boundary line. Summary letter titled Development to North Encroaching on Property Line. Since the respondent's client's notes, the respondent was performing the property line assessments. The letter further states the calculations and computations were performed to provide a variation between the line state and the existing line that the respondent ran between two posts. The two posts were determined to be markers at or reference to the north line. The respondent also provides his assessment to the evidence and compares it to that of recorded short plats. In reviewing the information submitted to this board, it did appear that the respondent may unknowingly be practicing or trading without a license. The evidence also suggests that he uses the terminology that creates a communication conflict between himself and his client, the public. Therefore, this case manager finds no clear evidence that the respondent willfully violated Chapter 1843 RCW, and based on successful counseling session, recommends closing this case with no further action at this time.
What was that case number again?
Case number 2018-10-0001-00ENG.
I move to accept the case manager's recommendation for closure.
I second. Okay. Any discussions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Abstain. I abstain.
The next case number is 2019-01-0004-00ENG, and that is Ms. Minnie's case.
So the complainant, a licensed professional engineer, filed a complaint against the respondent. He's also a professional engineer of violating WEC 196-2070-0201E. The complainant had filed a previous complaint against the same respondent, and the case was investigated under a different number and closed with no further action. Allegation in both cases originated from fish passage design in forest land and that the complainant had worked on, where the respondent's employer or agency was responsible for approving the permits. The complainant states that this complaint is not an appeal for the closure of the previous complaint, but he had substantially revised it, narrowly focusing on the violation of WEC 196-27A-0201E pertaining to public harm, which was not included in the original complaint, the previous complaint in 2017. Furthermore, the complainant claims that the response by the case manager in closing the previous case did not address WEC violations listed in the 2017 complaint. Moving on to the facts, the respondent is a licensed professional engineer in the area of civil and forest engineering. He was initially licensed in 1999, and there have been no prior complaints against him other than the 2017 complaint by the same complainant. According to Borpal Policy 48, if a complaint or investigation is reconsidered, the board will do so under the following conditions. The complainant has submitted additional evidence and or information in support of the original complaint that is relevant to the allegations. A board member requests reconsideration. Review of the case file shows that the complainant has not provided any additional evidence or information than the one presented previously in 2017. And in both complaints, the complainant has provided several examples where he disagrees with the respondent's response to the design submitted for permitting. There appears to be differences of opinion in design philosophy between the two parties, and there is no clear and convincing evidence that the respondent violated any of the WECs listed by the complainant. So in summary, the complainant has not provided any additional evidence and or information that is different than the one presented in 2017. Furthermore, the disagreement between the complainant and the respondent seems to have arisen due to different design philosophies between the two professionals. There is no convincing evidence that the respondent violated any of the WACs. Therefore, it's the case manager's recommendation that the case be closed with no further investigation.
Amy, can you give me that number again? My
2019-0001-0004-00ENG.
I move that the board accept the recommendations of the case manager.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Foreclosure.
Okay, the next case number is 2019-06-0002-00ENG, and it is Mr. Hendrickson's case.
Thank you. The complainant contracted to provide review of an engineering product for a city agency. Complained that the document sealed by the respondent licensee was not prepared by a licensee but by a person not under their supervision as a violation of RCW 18-235-130-12. Complaint suggested the respondent aided and abetted the unlicensed practice of the company to whom the respondent was subcontracted in violation of RCW 18-235-130-9 and 10. Upon investigation and response, the respondent demonstrated appropriate licensure and practice as a professional engineer in Washington. The respondent averred personal preparation sealed the subject document and that the party of which complained was not the preparer. No investigative content or report suggests that the respondent was aware that the company to whom the respondent was contracted was not licensed to practice engineering. I recommend a closure with no further.
I move we approve the case manager's recommendations.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Abstain.
All right. Next
motion
case.
Passes.
Motion passes.
And case number.
Okay, the next case number is 2019-06-0003-00ENG, and that is also Mr. Hendrickson's case.
The complainant, contracted to provide review of an engineering product for a city agency, complained that the respondent was not a licensee and that the respondent prepared the document in violation of 18-235-030-15 provisions against unlicensed practice. That the document was not prepared by a licensee but by a person not under their supervision as a violation of 18-235-130-12. Upon investigation and response, the licensee sealing the document, a very personal preparation and seal of the subject document, and that the respondent did not conduct any preparation of alteration without supervision and approval of the licensee. The respondent affirmed that the licensee authored and prepared any document changes. And I recommend a closure with no further action.
Okay. Motion to accept?
I move that we accept the case manager's report.
Yes. Second. Any discussion? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Abstain.
Motion passes. So, okay. Is that it?
So under 4.3, the disciplinary report, just FYI, and also as an FYI, this report was done by Jeff Wilmot, who actually no longer works for RBS, and so I don't know how to do this report, so in the future, the you will not see a report like this, but we will come up with something else for you to look at for your information.
Okay. So that was my question, is especially on the recent case history, the numbers generated down there, I'm not sure I follow.
Yes. I can't explain how he gets those numbers. So he gets them from the complaint tracking system that we have. And a lot of times, like, this was probably run, you know, quite a while back, prior to the meeting. And with our new system, with the new R3 system that we're going to have, the reports are going to be a lot easier, and they'll be a lot more, you know, up-to-date. And
it's going to just generate report. That's part of the requirement.
Right.
It'll generate reports for every client.
But this is year-to-date, not since the last board meeting, right?
Correct. Yes.
It's year-to-date.
Yes.
So on the 18 information, 17 information, it's the same comparable year to date, or is that, I mean, going forward, clarity on what, if we even decide to have past information, whether that's year to date or.
I don't know
what
that is.
I don't know.
Look forward to
something.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very easy to read.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, true.
Yeah,
I'm
glad
to
be able to
move into
a different new system
because he
doesn't have my name.
It just says PhD.
That's it.
Well, that's
because
the word
wrap. Your name is too long.
It's actually in there. You just can't see it.
That's pretty good. All right. Any questions on the disciplinary report?
Yeah, I'm just curious again, like I always am, as to where these things are. These charges, documents being drafted that have been there forever. When are we going to get them done?
I'm going to be working on them, and I think the one that you're talking about, if I correctly, it's actually drafted.
It's drafted, but it's.
It needs to be reviewed and then sent to our AAG prosecutor for that review.
Really, there's nothing at the AAG's office being reviewed right now?
Not at this time, no. We have two that are actually
active.
You just got it to send out.
Okay, you're right, yes.
My guess is that
this was done in like the middle of July, the day before he left our office.
And
it is in the middle of July.
And the AG's office has a different system now, which I think is better. It used to be that I don't know why, but for some reason you guys always got the section chief up in Seattle as your attorney, which didn't make sense because that person is so busy because they oversee every single thing that happens in Seattle. But now you have an actual regular AAG, and she this is one of her focuses. And so she'll be able to turn things around.
Is that due to our change that's being added?
No. It just was after talking to the powers that be, it was a change that they decided to make.
So we should see things move.
Because this is part of her regular job.
Oh,
as opposed to a section chief whose main job is to manage all of the attorneys and make sure that all the, you know, everything's getting done. So this is like one of the many jobs, whereas for her, this is one of her main.
That's very good news.
Yeah.
So
she's still kind of learning, you know, but she's I think she's good. So
nice.
Yeah.
And in the future, so is there going to be some sort of link between the Polaris system or our board to where we can actually, or Jill can actually, you know, click on, okay, this case is at the AG and where is it within the system? Or is it just basically sent and then we just wait?
It'll say it's at the AG's office, right? Or legal, whatever that term will be, legal review or something?
Okay.
But realizing we will have more accurate information and just-in-time information available to this, and if not, and have a question, you contact Jill directly, because she'll have first-hand knowledge of all the engineering land surveying on-site cases and where they're sit or in updates with them.
And my guess, too, is with respect to legal review, is that if you have one person consistently doing this and who's experienced, like my client that I do this work, prosecuting work for, the person that, I mean, when he started, it took me more time to review, but now he's been doing the same job for, 5 years or 3 years. And now I get it. It takes me, like, literally, I get it, I open it, I review it, I send it back, like that fast, because it's usually quite good, and I don't have to make a lot of changes to it. And my guess is that, and also, if I don't get back to him within a day, maybe he'll let 2 days go by, and then he'll come to me and say, just check me in on that, and I'll be like, I know it's not going to take me long, I'll just do it and get it done. So my guess is that's kind of how things will operate from the AG's perspective. Hopefully.
Yeah, and Jill's focus is also proactive, is to focus on streamlining, working with other boards across the nation on understanding, and I'm speaking for you, Jill, and I apologize.
Go right ahead.
She's got a desire to really dig in and being part of the committee on NCWS on compliance and investigations is going to be quite a helpful tool for all of us to have on that committee and be engaged on what's best practices across all the boards.
Well, I think it's beneficial for case managers to know that if it hits the AG's office, like Elizabeth is speaking to, that if we can have some sort of feedback to where it's not taking so long, if we do our recommendations or our cases in a certain fashion.
Right.
Or, I'd like to at least get some feedback on, these are taking so long because you guys do it this way. Well, let's.
Right. Yeah. You can sit down with her or call her on the phone anytime and say, how are you doing on this? And she'll tell you.
That would be great to have a report back from you. It's taken me forever to go through your recommendation to put it into a statement of charges or actually you're going to be doing the statement of charges, right?
Yeah. I mean, I look at the statement of charges and see if the facts that they put in there support. I don't look at the file unless I see that the facts don't support the charges. If I see charges and there's no facts up there, then I'm like, So then I go back to the person who drafted the statement of charges and say, so I see these facts, and sometimes it's the other way around. Like, the facts are clearly a violation of blah, blah. And I'll be like, these facts right here, they're a violation of this. How come that's not there? So you want to make sure that the facts support the law and that there's law that covers those facts. So that's kind of what the attorney's job is. The attorney's job isn't necessarily to look at the file unless there's a problem. And sometimes sometimes they'll come to me with facts and say, is this enough, right in the early stage, is this enough to charge on without drafting a statement of charges? So you can let her know that you might do that. You might come to her and say, we have these facts, and I'm not sure. And she'll say, yeah, that looks like, or no, you need to go back and get some more information, like this is the kind of information we need. So I would interact with them more that way.
One of the other things that we're going to be doing is what we call a DART review, and so that will be like Ken and Shannon and I will sit down and look at it when a case manager recommends charges, and we'll bring the file and we'll look at it and say, okay, yeah, do we feel like this rises to the level, or is there something else we need to add? So that's really helpful too.
And at that point, a lot of times my council board client will call me in at that point,
yes,
and we'll all sit down with them in that little DART thing, if they don't call it that, but I'll sit down with them if they're kind of scratching their heads, and I'll give them my opinion.
And we'll do that also, yeah.
Yeah,
if you have a question, we're not sure about that, so yes.
And we're going to call it the BERT review.
The BERT review.
The board.
Yeah.
So the language says, as you're going through these, now that you're, because you weren't always doing the statement charges, you'll be doing them now. Right. Please let us know if they're following what you need. And maybe we need to have some guidance from you at a meeting to say, this is what I want to see in your report. Yeah. So it makes it easier for you to use statement charges. So we're not just doubling the effort every time.
Right.
Yeah. That would be great. Yeah, streamline the process based upon your recommendations.
Yep. Perfect. All right. Moving right along to new business. We've got an update on the interim director appointment.
So that you guys already know. So that's so we can move on to the next one.
Okay. I will add something under that, and it's more on the permanent director. We did get an email from governor's office for whoever would like to be involved in that process of selecting the permanent director. So if you guys are interested, please let the governor's, Kelly Wicker's staff, I believe, she directed us to contact somebody at her office. So in talking with them, they indicated they would like to see two people. I've responded. So if somebody else would like to be involved in that process, I encourage you.
Do you have any feel for the time commitment?
I have absolutely no feel. I don't even know what they're going to use us for. I don't know if they're going to use us to be in the interview process or whether or not we're going to be looking at applications. I have no idea. They're fairly secretive about that whole process. So they just said they would like to see two people be involved in it. So, no. It might be 100 hours. It might be 10 minutes.
It's a bit of the hesitancy.
I know, and it does close on the 19th of August now. They extended the...
Okay.
So instead of the 8th, it said the 8th.
We didn't have any applicants besides one we know.
So,
do you need somebody now to volunteer and so that you can...
Respond? You can weigh it open your minds. I would say kind of decide maybe by the end of this week, and if you do decide, let me know so I know we've got coverage. If I don't hear anybody by the end of this week, I'll bug you all again.
I guess, can we ask what the time commitment is? Or
always
do.
No idea.
And we're not going to find out.
None. So, I can't imagine it's all that much. They seem to be covering the process. We're probably maybe going to be doing some advising, given. So, anyway.
I thought if we all responded to show them how interested we are in the process.
That's a good idea.
That is a.
They may back away.
I'm not going to respond for two reasons. One, that I think it ought to be the board that's going to be in the ensuing years that this is going to have the biggest effect on. And I'm not as readily available because I would have to fly over there every time I want to do something. So, besides, I won't be available most of this month anyway.
Okay. All right, yeah, if everybody responds, that's just fine too. So it's up to you guys. But if you do respond, shoot me a quick email so I know we got coverage. So, all right. Next item. Let's move on.
And my other reason is I was involved in the selection of this guy on those interviews, and look what you got, so you don't want that.
I don't know quite how to take that.
I do.
All right, moving along to the strategic planning report. Ken?
Okay. So Marjorie had item one to talk about outreach and where we sit right now in education. and spoke to the 2016 outreach and mission statement that was provided. And we had an action out of that meeting to have the board review that document so it'll be published out to everybody to take a look at and decide what parts and pieces may need to be supplemented or addressed accordingly. So that was item one. Did I cover everything, Marjorie? Would you like to add more?
Yeah, I think that the conversation was that the board is going to kind of take on this effort more integral with our main meetings, and that we're not necessarily having a separate task force anymore to take it on. We're going to review this document. We're going to move forward as a board as a whole.
Right. So I don't believe there's any action that needs to happen out of that other than we'll get information out to the board, the 2016 document amended with some highlights, just red lines onto it for your review and comments over the next month or so, and then we'll readdress it in the October meeting. Then there was discussion regarding the deputy director role for the art outreach and the assignments to staff. And we talked about as we get the deputy director on board, that's one of the items that's clearly on their PDR, I mean their position description and what they'll be doing. And so moving forward with the focus on some of the PLS issues right from the get-go would be helpful. And so contacting board members and helping pull that together over the next couple of months will be helpful with the report coming in October. Did I miss anything, Shannon, on that? So just turning the page. Okay, one of the questions we talked about was taking a look at the 2016 plan and with the amendments and defining what is in our responsibility and as an authority per RCW on certain issues of where we would expend licensees' money. And so Elizabeth and I will work on that with the finance department to define what's within our statute's authority for us on expending funds. And Marjorie gave the example on the potential for us supporting STEM or things like that. Is that within our authority or is it more us advising and working with other organizations and things like that? So giving kind of an outline of some of those priorities of where we have authority to expend funds with recommendations back to the board on focusing on. Anything else? Okay. We did take a look at the current mission statement and how it did work through also the 2016 document. So that'll be part of us continuing to potentially revise or to edit some of the work on the mission statement with that document that would be sent out. So we were going to, in our strategic plan out type of thing, we were talking about some of the access on our website and some of the policies of getting access to information and things like that, and whether or not some of that needs to be a policy or just reviewed by the board or how that may go, but we'll come back with a recommendation on the website development and access to emails, electronic, things like that for information as part, I know it's part of our operation plan, but strategically it's also some of our outreach too. So any questions about that? Okay. We talked a bit about WAX and Shannon brought up the list of all the WAX and where they sit with our different boards. I mean, with our different committees and staff, we agreed as an action item that staff would take and deliver a prioritization of which WACs need to be identified and resolved with the new RCW changes that are coming with 1843 and 210 and 235, and get that in a prioritization of what needs to happen now and then start working on some of the goals and outlining a decision tree pathway for us to go and revise some of the WAC language as necessary. And part of that was also strategic planning, a recommendation of when we bring the associations in and other organizations to help us with definition of our WAC, which will be a coordination with some other agencies, as well as we'd like to include all the professions early, so our stakeholders early in that process. So our plan will have some inserts of what we think from staff, but we'll also, I mean, we'll bring that to the board for your guys' recommendations and deliberation, and then hopefully in the next meeting, if not the fall, the December meeting. We talked about the board manual revisions and how staff would take that action on to consolidate and present the consolidation of information and changes that necessarily represent your board now as we're a standalone agency and start putting that into pieces. And that's all I have for my handwritten notes. Is there anything I missed, Shannon?
I have a question. Now, are we going to have our own website? Do we have some kind of a deadline or plan for when it will be up and running?
Well, the answer to the question, we do have a plan to get the plan, if I might say that. And we're working with WATEC's Wendy Wickstrom. She's the website development from Washington State Technical Services. And she's... their group is, they've interviewed us and we've given them some details, as well as during this strategic plan, and this is a good note, Mimi, is we did talk about making sure we get the board to talk about what's important to them in the website. And so when we get the plan to, you know, moving forward, we'll bring that to the board and have you guys insert parts and pieces that you feel are important. In a place that you can, because right now we'll just get basically an estimate. This is their rough skeleton, and we'll get that within the next 2 weeks, I think, is what they committed. So that will go out to the whole board individually for you guys to just edit and send back to us.
So the accountancy board actually hired a consultant to help them work on their, I'm not suggesting you do this, but they did hire a consultant to help them work on their logo.
And that's a very good point. And so right now, I sent you guys a copy yesterday of what I just threw together as Ken Buller's email. Bottom is our logo. And so it's not, it's, I'm an engineer, so forgive me. But I just threw something out there for you guys to take a look at, and it may be worthy of us hiring a graphics consultant to take a look at creating something that's more non-engineering. And so,
I mean, I don't know. I didn't see it. So.
It's okay.
But
I
just was saying they did that. And then also, you know, if you're not sad, if for some reason the WATEC doesn't give you kind of what you need, you also can, there's lists of people out there that can help you with
that.
WATEC tools, they don't.
Right. So they probably have, my guess is they have a list of approved contractors that you can get to help you with that.
My preference is let's get some ideas from the board, and I appreciate this, and we can always revise our website logo, but I would rather not spend a whole lot of effort of course, let's bring somebody that's artistically gifted to help us do something nice, but I would not like to spend a lot of effort deliberating. I wanted to keep it block. You know, so, to begin with, that way we can get on the street and get rolling, and maybe we can expend some money to change that and get some ideas.
No, I was just thinking more in terms of the website. If you really want to get it up and running, you may want to start looking at the contractors, because I'm not sure WATEC is going to do it.
They won't do a logo, but they'll do the content.
I mean, set up the website?
Yeah, they will.
Will they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, but they would do that.
We'll pay for it through WATEC, and they have a group that does a lot of that work. Yeah, and they'll do the hyperlinks and connections and page delivery. The artistic part of it, they will not do. They won't make it look beautiful. They'll just have a
We got to tell them what all the content is, and they put it into the page.
Okay. Isn't there, correct me if I'm wrong, but right now, if a person wants to get information on the board, they can go through the DOL site,
right.
And that's where that information resides now,
yep.
And it tells who the members are, and it tells us a lot of basic information.
Right.
So some of that's already kind of done.
Right, okay? Right.
But it's the DOL, it's in the DOL format.
Yeah.
And so once you click, once you get to the point where you get your own website, you probably don't want to keep the exact DOL format.
But a lot of the information is kind of there. I mean, somebody has to organize it differently.
But you may want additional, like we talked about, you may want more information.
Yeah, one of the important keys that Elizabeth brought up was that internet and intranet, kind of the connection where there would be a portal for staff and the board members to go in and be able to communicate with inside the web page, and then outfacing information that's all public domain information. And so that's a good key to us to ask for that question. We forgot to ask that.
And I would assume that in the future then, we get our own domain, because people would be used to going to the DLL site, that there would be some reference to either send them someplace or tell them where to go.
Right.
Yeah, we get it.
That's a good point, Steve. Sure.
So how are we going to handle like the intranet or the inside portion of what content or what things are going to be on there?
Well, go ahead. So my thought is that WATEC website development team are experts at this, and so we'll allow them to build the questions and answer questions statement of what they ask us for what we want, and we'll get that to the board here soon. And because there is I think there was a board member identified as potentially being part of that, and I don't know if we have to make that official, but Jim, you're going to help us. And on some of that information. So we'll go through you on asking some details of what will make this potent and good, you know, information. So, yes.
So, but we want the board members to give their, you know, what they would like to see in that?
Right.
To you?
We'll send out I'll send out an ask, or Shannon will. One of us will send out an ask of some of higher level questions and comments, and making sure we fulfill that. But we're waiting for now the plan to come in the next 2 weeks. We'll ship that out to you with some basic questions of what you guys want to see, what you see are good websites, and what really important to you, and make sure we fill those gaps.
Yeah, I just don't want to send emails out to everybody and have a meeting of some sort. So you have to direct me into how you want me to do that and get the information to me.
Right.
And one of the things you talked about is like those staff administrative policies and that kind of information. I would say put everything up there that you want to be up there for posterity.
Right.
You know, so think about, well, when the board turns over, what needs to be there so that this is the go-to spot for the board, so everybody can see these, you know, summaries of decisions and policies and maybe even like letters that, you know, you might have a thing up there that's like, you know, key important documents that are like letters that have gone out advising agents, you know, other agencies, or that kind of stuff. So it's the place where you would love to find that kind of thing.
And there's probably some procedural things that we need to get just black and white discovered, and what has it appropriate us for to have a hyperlink to ASCE's site or NCWS.
Right.
And get those answers quickly, so we're not.
Those would be good to have on your outward facing.
Right, and so we have that all resolved, and then the board can decide on what level some of those requests come in. Hey, can you give us a hyperlink to your Borbol site? You know, and I know this is going into the weeds, and I apologize, but that's the type of information we'll have to sift through quickly, and so we know what type of hyperlinks or connections we want. And because some of the, like NCWS, we're going to want to have a hyperlink to that into their members' services, because they're so connected with us on the transcript evaluation and things like that. And that may be at a level that is absolute. But do we put in, you know, a website hyperlink to the local chapter of on-site wastewater designers, you know, a hyperlink? That's a question you guys can answer later. But we'll get the, whether we have a authority, if there's some level of where that trips over a point as a nonprofit, whatever, we'll get all that information to you guys.
Yeah, we already have a link to related websites, which have national and state organizations and everything else already.
That kind of stuff is probably, as long as you make sure it's clear, it's not you, it's somebody else.
Yeah,
there's
a lot of information.
It's already in there. A lot of stuff's in there.
Okay. All right. Any more? Anybody?
I think there was just one item that said back in the discussion yesterday, you did announce the DRPELS domain. So I'm just repeating it.
Right. If there's any concerns with having the domain being DRPELS.wa.gov, let me know. And I hear none, so that's where we're moving forward with it.
Okay. Before we move on to item number 6, I would say let's do a quick bio break, if everybody's okay with that.
11:12.
Was there a lunch plan today?
Lunch in the
noon. Noon, okay. Take 5-minute break. Okay. Next item on the agenda is old business. 6.1, review of prior action items list. We've got that up on the screen.
Looks like that one's done already with the getting answers about the new exam testing.
Yep, we'll talk about that in a bit.
Okay. And then the peer review process bullet points. That was with Jill.
That was still a work in progress.
Okay.
And then the interagency agreement, that was completed. The inquiry on flexibility using other travel, that's completed. Budget request, that's completed. The current case manager worksheet, that's in progress with Jill.
That should change because it hasn't it'll change when we get our new email address, but other than that, it's the same. It has my email address to return it to.
So it's completed?
Yeah.
And then staff, the work on the next edition of the board journal. So that's
in progress.
That you send me the case report. Actually, just send it to me before you send it out.
The
journal.
The
journal.
Oh.
Just to make sure we don't say anything. Like this last one, we had some stuff that for the TAPL case was a little bit tricky.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I would assume this next journal is going to have some big splash across the front that we're new, we're different, we're things
new
have changed.
New and improved. Yeah. I forgot the saying. Extra, read all about it.
Yeah. When do we need the articles in for the...
When do you want to do it?
That's a great question. We're going to stick with the 2 a year? We could, there's no reason to change that, right?
Yeah, if we can get out 2 a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes they morph into one.
Get going on it.
Okay.
So, articles, I would say try to get those in within the next...
By the 1st of September?
Yeah, it's a month.
Do we have
If you have articles and want them to go in, I can't... I think we're, we're moving a lot of things, and the journal's important, and so we need to make sure we get it put together appropriately, so, yeah.
Mr. Chair, do you have any specific items that or articles that you want in there? No?
I've got to get mine together. That's all I've got. No. I'd say everybody that's... If they, whoever wants to submit an article, let's get it submitted by September 1st.
Well, Shannon is probably not go to, but we may, because the contract we have through DOL for the printer and the graphics person, the person that puts all the content into a nice looking.
He's on a state contract.
Yeah. So yeah, that's. I know it's an important document, and I apologize for. It's like the last thing on the burner for me right now. So I really apologize. So maybe there's a way to get whatever information we need to do. Maybe it is an email blitz for a bit, or so. I don't. Let's get the articles in, and we'll
figure it out.
Something together. Yeah.
Okay.
And I would also ask if it would be great to send it out to the board in the draft, because there was one case closure, I can't remember the details, it was very unclear the way it happened, so
okay.
It would be nice to...
And what we do is, those disciplinary articles, is we basically use the case manager's report,
sure.
Like
an
LAQ, like one paragraph, or two paragraphs.
There was one thing, like,
yeah.
I mean, somebody pointed it out, like, what exactly was it? It'd be nice for us to kind of have a quick check before it goes out.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it's a very important document, and I apologize. I just have not taken this one on since I've been here. Just, yeah.
We'll work on it. Okay?
The last one is the status report, the complaint. That's a progress.
Yeah, that's still a progress. Wait for our three.
Okay.
That's
all of our current. Okay. Outreach and event calendar.
I don't have anything for that.
I would like to add an item. I've been requested by Olympic College professor there to speak to them on October 19th.
Okay.
Wait a second. October 18th. I'm sorry. That's up at Bremerton.
Right.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Yes, Svana has one.
So we were requested by LSAW for to provide a presentation at their next meeting in October. They've asked for an investigator and I guess myself to go in and talk about investigations and PDH requirements.
I think that's the same time as the proposed hearing. Okay. Maybe in conflict, isn't it?
I don't have exact dates.
LSAW.
So, something that could be potential.
Okay. We've got the NCES meeting next week. Which is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday,
Saturday.
What dates are those again?
The 14th.
I think I got
15th, 16th, and 17th.
There we go. Yeah.
Oh, I know what it was.
Is there any specific? You know, a lot of times we have some a listing of specific issues that are going to be voted on there.
Yeah, we did that when you weren't here.
We went over the motions in June and. We basically discussed them and delegated authority to the
you know what you're going to do.
Group
okay.
There, yeah.
I just wanted to.
Okay.
Fair enough.
All right. Any other events that you know is coming up?
Well, have you voted on the event? You sent out an email.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Mimi was the only one that responded to wanting to be part of the ABET reviews. And so I'll get you on the calendar and get you connected.
It's the same week as the hearing too, so one of them.
Oh.
It goes from Sunday to Tuesday, and I think Tuesday is the hearing. So.
Okay, yeah.
You know, they
before?
Yeah. The AVET group can be kind of picky about who they let be on those committees, and I guess I would wonder if they would let an educator from another school be on a committee that looked at another school. I don't know if they would or not, but I'll tell you what, they are kind of picky.
I went on two of them, and okay. I was concerned too, but they were okay having me. I'm pretty good about it, and I'm also like,
okay. Honestly, yeah. they've got a candidate here. They know if they can pack it.
Okay. No more events? Okay. Moving on. Dana's update. Ken?
Yes. Shannon and I will tag team this best we can. So where Dana sits right now is on the on-site wastewater exam. They've submitted all the questions to, and Rich Larson has agreed to take this on as a volunteer, and I, and so we're reviewing the questions as in form and answers and references, and making sure that the two forms, which are 200 questions basically, are done well. And so that process is in our hands, and commitment is within the next week we'll have that completed. And then what to do with that next will be the next, after a couple more statements, we'll talk about that. The PLS exam, Jim and Aaron have reviewed the 76 or so questions that Dana's provided that had gone through the SME process and that, and have cleaned them up, corrected them, and I think they're ready now for the next step, if I am speaking for you, Jim. And so now the next step is the question. Dennis and I have had a pretty good conversation, and I copied Jim and some of this as well, about whether or not we want to continue with them through anything further than what they've done to date. And they're willing to turn everything over back to us for us to create the forms of the exam, put everything in our own logic and sequence to be able to prepare and move forward with the exams and be done. And they've submitted an invoice of where they're at right now, and I'm hoping that inclusive of turning everything over, but we're trying to figure that out. It's the other option is to turn everything back over to DNS, let them create the forms, put everything into some logic formulas and that for us to be able to process the exams, both the PLS and the on-site exams, and whether or not we use them for validating or anything moving forward as an additional contract if we want to. But we can finish up currently what's in their contract and allow them to create the forms for the two exams if we choose to. Recommendation at this point is for us to take option one, for us to take all the questions of where they're at, the details, information that they've put together in a matrix formula, and we own that data, and we take our own pathway to create the exam forms, put everything into data gathering information on each of the questions, and we start working our own pathway forward on the calculations of the exam questions, how they perform, and we move forward and track that ourselves. So that's where we sit. It's a question for the board. The recommendation at this point is to go that option only because Dennis is not the subject matter expert, they're the mathematical expert. They can take information statistically, move through that, and get us that data if we want, or we can collect that and do with what we want with it. But we still need to grade the questions and move forward on whether or not we agree with the questions moving the right direction or not. Is that clear?
So have they fulfilled their contract? I mean, if we take option one, is it 3 months down the road, or is it, have we
to be with
arrived at the finish line right now and said, this is a great time to
pretty close up. To okay. that. It's okay. pretty close. We'd remind, so Shannon is the contract manager for those pieces of it. So maybe you can speak to that. If you want to, I can speak for you. Okay. And I'm sorry, I don't want to step on your toes on this, but it's Danis believes that because we're not an accredited exam, we're not looking for accreditation, that we can take this and go. And they're good with it. Finish Line is, so give us everything they got, and we basically, they will not be any more work on. Or we continue on. I'm not sure what's left monetarily in their contract. They're billing right now $6,600 to get us to where we are. Hopefully, when they give us everything, which is not much work for them, but
we're and so getting everything. I mean, we saw this with Ergo is we what we expected to get and what we actually got were two different things. So do we? I mean, are we getting the background data like the Angoff and all that? I mean, have they delivered the deliverable?
That is a question that I can have to assess with you guys.
Okay.
If you feel uncomfortable with that. And that reminds me of one more thing is now you do not have to go to the DOL contracts office, which is probably a good thing because they don't go to their attorneys. And I am an attorney and that is my specialty, other than engineering course. So before you go into any other mm-hmm. kind of contracts.
Right.
Like this.
Unfortunately, I have never seen the contract. We're not involved in creating a contract. I don't even know what it's supposed to deliver to us.
But you should be able to get that now, right? You guys should be able to ask for that contract, and then we can look at it and see if you got what says in the contract.
What I understand what they were supposed to do was not what we ended up doing. So it veered off course.
That's for whatever reason. It may not be in the contract. Well, that may be why. But I don't know. Until we look at the contract, and if they did do what they're supposed to according to the contract, great. If they didn't, then something needs to happen.
Yeah. So there were several communicate because Danis is also working, I think, on the geology board and a couple other contracts with DOL but it's all wrapped into ours is the scope of work in the general contract. And so, but things changed. Their opinion of things changed. I think our contract management might have not been the cleanest. And so that we're exposed a bit, but we're exposed only to pay what we owe, $6,600, and end the contract and just get all the information that they're willing to give to us. The nice thing is we have all the items. Nice thing is we do have the Angloff scores for all the items. Nice thing is now, at least for the PLS exam, we have all the references because Jim and Aaron spent about 80 hours working on those.
Which I thought was going to be a product.
Right. And so realizing that things changed and I'm not asking this, but I think it's important for us just because of the not very proactive contract management on our part when we were part of DOL, and not staff, but just the way this was written, I think we're in a good spot just to break ties. And if we want to contract with Venus again, and we write a very good contract with Elizabeth's tutelage, and is to make this happen so it's a good contract that has deliverables, performance spectrum, T's and C's per contract law, all that, and we know what we're getting. If we need that help. With the deputy director coming in, if we get where we want to go, I'd like for that person to be engaged in these two exam forms with Vana's team and Vana, but providing some expertise in keeping the item banks fresh, the Angloff scores reviewed, the performance is questioned, but move forward and maybe contract with a company like Danis to help us with some of that.
But as we're moving forward to go to computer-based testing, whatever it is with these two exams, I think we're gonna probably need some contract help.
Yeah, one of the concerns I have right now is, you know, their recommendation was 25 questions to 40 questions.
Right.
In the same time, right? Same time, well, 2 hours, 4 hours? What did we end up
with? They recommended it.
They kind of recommended that we can have additional time, but we wanted that to be a decision that we make after we get the questions from the 40 questions to know exactly, okay, these 40 questions, this is the amount of time that it's going to take for these 40 questions.
Yeah, so how do we do that without having somebody...
Well,
take the exam and time it.
That's exactly it. And that's what they would do too. But they would do it with basically a group of people and go on to a beta test.
Yeah, the beta testers, which would have been the next.
Right.
That wasn't part of what they were supposed to do now.
Well,
yes and no, kind of.
It may or may not be, but what happened is there were a lot of changes in the exam development for the PLS exam. That I think that if we ask Dennis to take another step, and I don't know what's left in their contract amount, I know we paid them a pretty significant fund already to get, it may be best for us to take the exam, just as an option, the PLS exam, and create it in a format that we test it as a beta test with the content that maybe control the amount of time in the exam. This is some asking, but we basically stated it's 4 hours. If that's what, you know, I mean, I think it's probably 3 hours, but when we work the exam time, you know, is that fair or not? I don't know, but what is your thoughts? I mean, you've been through, you've seen the questions.
I'm too biased now because I know the answers and I've worked on these questions so much that I, you know, as a minimally competent person, I don't know how long it would take me to get these done. 40 questions, you know, 25 to 40. I think we need a fresh set of people to
try it
and see how long it's going to take them to get it done.
Okay, and that may be something that we can take. You know, fortunately, with the on-site exam, the hours of the examination aren't changing. We're keeping whatever, I don't know how long we give the on-site exam, 4 hours. 100 questions. That's not changing. The PLS exam, we have time to do that beta test ourselves. I mean, we could gather folks and get volunteers that have, you know, that are in that multiple level and have them take the exam and test it out. See if, you know, we could do that ourselves.
We can.
If you want to pay Danis to do that, we certainly can. That means probably, you know, it's expensive.
What are they going to do? Do the same thing we do. Send it out to some volunteers to time it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so the question is if we're going to get it done in a timely manner, is it better to outsource this and pay for it rather than have a limited amount of ability? We've got a lot on the plate right now with staff. If we put more on the staff, it's going to take longer. I mean, what's our timeline here? When do we want to have it done?
Well, the initial timeline was 2020. You know, basically January 1, that we would have the questions then be available for the next April exam. Because in 2020, January 1, we were going to post the new criteria.
Job test analysis.
Yeah.
The matrix.
The new matrix for 2020 going forward. So that was our intent and our discussion early on. I guess I'm the one that brought up this question to begin with, is have we fulfilled, or has Dennis fulfilled the contract? If we're at a point where we feel that Dennis has fulfilled the contract and we can do option one, can they is it in a format to where it's going to go right to Vana and the database is now going to be populated with the new questions, or is there work yet to be done for Vana to do her job with exam creation?
Yeah, so question, how does the actual printed formatted exam that gets given to the candidate, how does that come about? Are they Word document files that you give to somebody? What format should they be?
At the time, originally, it was Jeff. He would go into that huge database that we had.
The spreadsheet. Yeah, the spreadsheet.
Jeff would go in there and do his magic with the spreadsheet to try to determine which ones have been used a lot, which ones hadn't been, which questions were vetted. And then he would form the testing, the exam itself.
But he would put it in a Word document, send it to a printer?
Yep, he
so
put it to
I
Word
took all
send
them,
it to me, and he might print them out.
I took all them and made 80 separate Word documents for each question. Is that what he would like to see?
Well, it wouldn't be Jeff anymore now.
Oh, who, it would, okay, so is that what you'd like to see? Because that's done already.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go into the spreadsheet anymore. The spreadsheet should be was at the analysis of the questions, not for the questions themselves. It's a real nightmare working in that spreadsheet, as you know. So we're away from that a little bit.
There would have to be some kind of matrix, while Stannis already did it, to be able to try to determine which questions are...
They already did the Angoth, and it's simple as this. You take all of the scores, the Angoth scores, divided by number of questions, and that's the cutoff score.
Okay.
I have determined that already. We've got that information from them. So it's not any complicated mathematical equation to come up with a cutoff score.
So how many questions are we doing on the exam now? Is that what we're still trying to figure out? Or
40. Supposedly 40. It's just a matter of how long the exam is going to be to fit those 40 in. Their recommendation was that they needed 40 questions based upon the number of candidates and exam time.
The breadth of the domain.
The other problem is we have probably 120 categories or more in the job task analysis, but we don't have questions for all of those. So we're sending out this matrix to people saying, here's what's going to be on the test, or could be, but we don't even have questions written for them. So do we...
So can we
edit that and just put the ones that...
Or do we leave that on there and work on developing questions for those job tasks?
Yeah, and this is the confusing part, because they recommend we only needed two forms, which is 80 questions. But there's more than 80 categories that can be on the exam. So how does that work?
Don't cover some of them.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
So do we develop more questions on a voluntary basis with the SMEs to fill in the gaps that have not been written for the matrix? We will have two exams. They figure two exams is fine to use forever.
Right, forever. So then the tasks that we need, what are the tasks that we need to do then?
To get this exam done?
Yeah.
It's close right now.
Yeah.
We can get at least one exam by next one. We have the...
By April 2020.
Yeah, we can put the first one out. We can probably have the two done by then. Right. But we only need the one, and I think we have all the information to get the one out. The only thing is, what do we want to do? We want to do it and just guess it 3 hours, or do we want to give it to a few people to pre-test to see how long the exam is going to take?
We need to do a pre-test.
Can I ask a question? If they're not ready to respond to them with a difference of 3 hours to 4 hours, make much difference.
It's not ready to respond to.
Meaning, if the candidate doesn't know how to answer them, but they can't do that, addition from 3 hours to 4 hours going to make a change in their score?
Well, here's the problem. We don't know. Right now it's 25 questions and a 2 hour time frame. We don't know what 40 questions is going to yield as far as time. And we could be basically taking a dart at the wall and saying, okay, well, based on our opinion, it should take minimally competent to do 3 hours, but that's simply just
a guess. Right. It could be.
Mimi?
We have done this in the past. We kind of simulated an FE exam for our students, and we had 60 questions or something in 2 hours, and we found out that the students were not finishing. So even if you get a population that can do the test, you are not really testing on the real population. Real population are the people who are kind of taking the test for the first time. So if you give it to somebody with a few years of experience and try to use them as your test.
Okay, the testers.
No, it doesn't work. So my suggestion might be give them more time and kind of see how they are doing the exam. Maybe they are finishing it in 3 hours. I don't know whether you can find that out. Yeah. And I don't know whether you can adjust the cut score at this point. That might be one way to do it.
Can we ask the candidate, can we when they leave, can we record the time it took them to do it?
Usually, well, there's, you can, right? I wouldn't ask the candidate, but maybe you guys can actually
So, I think in getting to Doug's question, if we just gave them 4 hours, if they don't know what they're doing for the test, they don't know what, if they could, even if they could get done in 3 hours, if we gave them four, just to make sure they all had enough time, is it just in your experience, being that you do a lot of testing?
That's the fair thing to do, because you can give them more time, but you cannot give them less time.
Right.
And say, no, you didn't know the material. That's not a justification. You have to give them more time.
You may use some test statistics afterwards to say, look, we're getting 80% of the people done by 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Right. So we can track.
And then you can do that analysis and come back and say, okay, we've decided to reduce it to 3 hours.
Some people are very, very good, but they're also a little slower. Right. That doesn't mean that they're not going to be great land surveyors or great engineers. Maybe they're just more detailed.
Just going with the 25 questions in 2 hours, if you double that, that would be 50 questions in 4 hours, so 40 should fit. Just basic math right there.
It
so we give them.
No, it doesn't. It's all diminishing returns. While you are kind of losing your concentration. When it's a 4 hour long test, you can just double the number of questions. No, you also need to adjust for that, how your brain works after.
Yeah. So 40 questions in 4 hours, which really should be 3 hours and 12 minutes if we were to multiply it. 40 questions in 4 hours gives them the benefit of some inefficiency.
Right. Yeah. In 4 hours, and you'll find out. The system will fail, your test will completely fail, if everybody is in there thinks, I'm just going to sit here, I finish the test, but I'm just going to hang on because I have 4 hours. Right. If everybody takes that approach,
no one takes that approach.
I did my case when I coached for them for math competitions and all that. If you finish the test, go back and check. Don't leave the room, much less. They tell you we are ready to pick up the test.
Or if you get so close, just fill in the blanks for the ones you haven't finished.
So you get.
Well, and I think that's, I just want to say, with the 2 hour exam and the 25 questions, and we do give them those, you have an hour left, 30 minutes, whatever.
Yeah.
I think it does get down to the point, which is why our failure rate is so high, is that they do just start filling in bubbles because they start freaking out because they're running out of time. Yeah.
From your experience, are the people leaving early or everybody's there until the last
minute? They leave early.
So half are finishing it, supposedly, and the other half are staying to the end, and maybe not finishing.
But our failure rate is still—it's high. I mean, we're more failing than passing.
That's because they're not mentally competent.
I think if we get to a 4-hour exam with the 40 questions, it's evened out with the on-site, and since they're taking the exams together, so I think there's that justification there. I think you're going to have a better pass rate because they're going to take their time. They're not
going to
be so stressed.
I think if you give them the allowance of time and then in test conduct capture the data on when they turn it in and correlate that to scores, I think maybe we can learn some more.
So, I mean, based on your recommendation, Ken, or your knowledge, it sounds like option one, we're at a good point of getting the data, getting the information from Dana's, and taking the next step ourselves. Whether that, what that next step is really up to us. But it sounds like we're at a good point right now. Going forward. Yeah.
Vonna and Shannon, are you guys good with this? I mean, because they're really the go-to on these. You know, if you guys are good, I'm good.
So, I mean, my next question to Vonna, not putting her on the spot, but it'd be, is going forward, this is kind of a blank slate, is this a good process to basically do for SME, taking the questions, populating as a Word document, and then going through and warehousing these questions in this location for this amount of time? Is this a good process? Or should we take advisement from you saying, this is how I see this working going forward? Because I think we're at a good point in which we could organize this a little bit better to where the information is readily available.
And maybe putting Vonna on the spot. So what I'd suggest is maybe Vonna comes back with some recommendations. But we do need to have the on-site exam ready for October. And we're committed to that. We're going to use the same format for the ELS exam for October, right, that we have now. So really the question is, moving forward to, and so give surgeons some time to kind of derive, because Vonna might say, look, I think we should get a consultant to help, or hey, I just need some extra time or staff or computer program or whatever, so I'd like for her to, it's okay to give her that assignment, if you want to take it on, to think through this and respond.
I think that's perfect. I think that that's where we can really, you know, get the most benefit out of it. We're a new state agency now, so let's do what we want to do to be the most efficient.
There's, I was going to say, has someone talked about the creation of the document and the performance statistics of the question here? How are you going to go forward?
Well, I mean, that's the part.
Well, I mean, one of the things is I've done, because I've done inter-province test creation and other things, running math competitions. I mean, I create a database, and so I've got a database of the questions, and I choose which questions go in, and that populates the report of the big test. And then I have sub you know, relational portions of the database on performance characteristics.
I think you just volunteered.
Yeah.
That's what we need to go forward.
Miss you track of these questions.
Your help.
Yeah.
You just volunteered. And so you're okay with that. And the fact is I think your expertise, I would suggest you working with Vonna on making this, you know, putting this together, because it would be helpful to maybe come back with a recommendation or, you know, yes, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, we want to know if questions aren't performing and why they're not performing.
Right. Right. And creating that database will be helpful for us in a way that's usable and friendly. And if it's just an Excel spreadsheet or whatever it is.
If you capture those results, you end up with things like the, you know, performance of your distractors and everything else associated with it.
That's exactly what we're looking for.
So are you okay with that?
Okay.
Are you okay with that?
Yes.
I think we have a conclusion.
Okay. So the on-site exam, is there going to be any beta testing or that just going to be given?
It has not been discussed.
Okay. And we are still lacking
survey questions. But then we need to help get those put in.
And we do have some that can be edited from the survey exam to match.
Yeah. You can help us with maybe directing us what those questions would be. On the new topo mapping WAC, but we have to make sure we're telling the on-site folks in our JTA blueprint that they need to study.
It should have been in a blueprint. That, just like our blueprint doesn't contain all the questions for the blueprint.
Right.
So it could be in the blueprint, but no questions were developed for it.
So we'll take that as an action. One, make sure it's in the blueprint. Two, get the questions and get them inserted in a fashion that they can be in the next exam.
Yeah, we have three or four that I can give you. I have to do some edits on them to make them more on-site than land surveyors.
And if you could send those to Bonnie and to Rich Larson, that would be great.
So,
something I do want to bring up with the on-site exam is a lot of the complaints that come in for that exam is they all state we're not land surveyors. So
right.
They feel that they don't need to answer a lot of those questions.
Right.
So I don't know if that has to go towards the outreach side of the house where we, if somebody goes and meets with WOSA to try to explain that you need to start converting some of the stuff, or if there needs to be something out on the website with some kind of statement that says...
Well, they are correct in a certain degree because they were asking specific survey questions that had very poorly written questions. Even the punctuation on them made them incorrect. But that's what Rich is doing. He is going over the on-site and looking at those specific questions.
Yeah.
And if they're not written properly, they should be removed from that exam.
Right. And
they
so
should be only... based on the job test analysis.
So the survey questions that are there now are not like they were before. They're not down to the details that were there before that the complaints were about. They're more on specific WAC language and on the work that, and so the topo questions would be helpful to insert because those, so that the question is a lot clean, the questions are a lot cleaner in that fashion from what they were before.
Really, that's the only portion of land surveying that they're allowed to do.
So
that's the one thing we should really be testing them on.
Well, there's some other that I don't want to, because we're on public record, I don't want to give out the questions, but there are other questions that you'd be happy with. And you and I have talked about them before, but they lead an engineer or on-site designer to the specific law and what we're allowed to do. So...
Yeah, so that's,
okay.
I will say that the on-site, the new matrix is out there.
You're right. We published that already.
But there is nothing in there about the topo.
There, I think there's some, but we'll work it out. Okay. We'll figure it out and we'll get to the bottom of that before the next, we'll get that resolved. Yeah.
Okay. So is it, we're decided then, do we need a vote?
You guys never voted on the contract to begin with, did you?
And yeah,
I don't think there's,
you know, directly.
Yeah.
It's really the end is clean, so that maybe the direction is just verbal, and it's what I'm going to do, action item. As a cleanly, with Elizabeth's help and Shannon's help, we'll cleanly disembark from our issues with the contract through DOL Adenas. So we're on our own, and so we're no longer having to pay the payments. If we can separate.
I think they would probably want to, too, at this
they
point.
They do. They want
to. I'm just curious how much the contract was, and if we spent more than we were supposed to. Because realistically, we either really didn't get what we envisioned to get. But that's fine. It's water under the bridge now. We're moving forward.
Right. It was a little bit unclean, but I think what we've gotten was a really great pathway forward. And so, Dennis has done a great job on advising and helping us move forward. It's just at a point now that it really is our expertise that needs to take it the next step, not the mathematician, psychometrician expertise that Dennis has. If we were going for accreditation, I would have an opposite story. It said we want to maintain that effort, so it's purely in law. The challenges that come to exams are based on the mathematics of it and not the such of it.
And that's right. That is something that we never asked for to begin with. We never asked for an accredited test.
Right, and that was unclear to them,
yes.
In all fairness. And they thought that that's what we were asking for in the original contract with them, and they realized quickly that's not what we were looking for. And so they revised and moved with us too. It's a small contracting company. They were able to provide us good service and what they did. It's just now it's they're yeah.
Yes. I think they did a great job for how things morphed over time. They still did a great job for us. It just wasn't what we expected, but again, we didn't see what the contract was, what they were supposed to produce for us.
Right.
So I think they still did a good job.
Good. Okay.
All right. One more question. When do you plan to inform the test takers how
many questions you are going to have and how long it's going to be, because I think that's important.
Right. What we were going to do is after the October exam for the PLS exam is then publish the new JTA blueprint as well as, and they've already been informed it's going to 40 questions, but we will formally broadcast that through the system with the new blueprint. Right now, because we have October exams coming, it's the same. We wanted to not confuse things, and that was a direction the board gave us a couple months ago.
All right. Any more discussion on Danis? All right. Got the executive director's report. Do we want to just grab lunch and go through lunch while we're... Yes? All right. Let's grab lunch. So just keep it going.
I need about 15 minutes. We'll check out.
All right. We'll
give you 15 minutes.
We'll take a 15-minute break to grab lunch. All right. Next item on the agenda is the executive director's report, and we've got a program operations and update on R3.
We're expected to go live October 14th. Staff will be testing. I'm starting to get off. So, in addition to everything else we're doing with this new agency, we'll have to go over and test it. We'll also be testing the license inside, and Jill and I, and Grace Anderson, and testing the client side of it. And I think it's going to be, we'll be able to license these, you know, we'll be able to go in and update their accounts without contacting us unless it's a name change. And we'll be, the way the new application is going to work is you'll give us your legal name when you apply, and then the name is, you want it to appear on your license. And then if you have a legal name, and if you're more than one profession, you'll have an overall account where you'll be able to click it on your profession.
But if their name changes...
If their name changes, they have to contact us. And then
okay.
The professionals are over there. Yeah, they're still discussing how much documentation.
Oh, I had a quick question. In the last meeting, you ordered me a new certificate. Did I have to pay for that somehow?
Not correct.
I'll let you know.
Oh, and you will have the option. Another nice option is you can go on there anytime on your account and print a license. You need your license.
You can print it out of your office.
You'll have the ability to self-print your licenses. I think with rollout two, or rollout one, with rollout two, they're going to start charging $5 to print a license, for us to print a license. So they're hoping.
Just a little thing that comes in.
A little wallet card
and the.
But not your wall license.
Not the certificate.
Okay. Not the gold license.
Your wall certificate is coming. There was some turnover downtown at the main office, so.
I thought maybe I just didn't pay for it, so
part of the.
Currently there's no charge for all certificates or duplicates.
So we're going to be.
People will be able to pay their disciplinary fine online also.
So it says.
Okay.
One thing that the board needs to understand, though, is zero right now. Internally it's called Polaris.
And unsuspend.
To the outside it's R3.
Not R2D2.
We have to be careful when we're talking about that, because Polaris is actually a trademark thing. They did not realize that when they named it that.
Really?
And so DOL is trying to figure out what to do with that. It's R3.
North Star.
It's called R3. North Star.
Yeah. You can always take the O out.
Sorry.
Smart Alec. Go for it.
Smart Alec. Smart Alec.
Okay.
And that's kind of, so if you're on listserv, you'll be getting, I think, more regular updates once it starts getting closer.
closer to the rollout date.
And so we're going to be completely through testing by October, and it's going on schedule so far?
It's going on schedule.
Oh, okay.
I'll just be really busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you all on the team, sir?
I believe I am.
I really have 700 people on this.
My DOL email is on this.
Oh,
it's just not. It's just this one.
Okay. Yeah, that's a lot.
Okay. Yesterday we talked about the financial report. Are there any specific questions? We will send out an updated financial spreadsheet here within the next couple of weeks for you guys to look at the full deal and where it's all at. But basically, it's what I discussed yesterday. We've been our appropriations $4.87 million. And we have a spending plan that's due next week that Paul Carr finished up. It's a draft. His CFO is looking at it. And as soon as that's completed, we'll get a copy of it. But then we'll have a lot more detail to finance and budgets and where things are going. So, yeah. So, I'm not sure. Yeah, that was the last later report. Yeah. Any questions? Next item is travel. We are moving over. I think everybody should be moved over into the TEMS account. So I think we do. Sherry, you enter all that information directly from reports.
I do enter that, and I got a request from the gentleman in the TEMS department.
We need to get all that's why we need to get all the travel stuff submitted. They want to fill it in separate years ago, because starting in August, Joe and I have to have access to the board members. We'll get you access to the board account. I mean, if she's going to continue doing that, we'll get her access, right? So our
teams.
The other thing we're getting is working on getting it. And the gentleman emailed me yesterday, and I was actually waiting for dinner, and she was meeting with people to figure out how it'd be a little bumpy.
Yeah.
So, what we have is we have expense reports that we can complete and get reimbursed. So if you have to, right now in the next transition period, if there's any reason that you have to use your own personal account, please do, and we'll reimburse. If you don't feel comfortable, tell me, and I'll give you my personal account. And that's what I've been doing. And so I get the points for it then, which is great. $78,000 charged on my credit card right now. So I'm just kidding. I'm really kidding. And so if you need that in the interim, until we get our cards from the U.S. Bank, or they're called One Cards for staff to use to purchase things and make travel arrangements, if you do choose to use your own cards or just an expense report, and we'll get you reimbursed for that.
And, you know, regarding travel, you know, through DOL, they had this link through, what was the name of the company?
Dandering.
Yeah, Dandering. So we won't have that any, I mean, so we'll make our own reservations?
No.
They have what, always travel? It's like, travel agents.
We have to use a state-approved.
Okay, but you guys will take care of that. I mean, we'll still tell you when our flight, when we want to fly. We'll tell you.
Right. And the reason why, just to be open to this, you guys understand, is that they have contracts with those three travel agencies to follow the state law and the orders from the governor's office on what type of flights and what type of seats and things. And so that's pretty consistent for state travel. And then, if you do want to upgrade your seats, then you pay for that yourself, you know, and that's the way state travel works. So,
Shannon and I met with WATEC last week concerning the licensing phone system. So they are working on pulling that out of the regulatory board section, which is all the board programs that roll into one. So they are working on trying to pull that out and just put it to me and the two CSS specialists that are working on the licensing. Should be done probably within the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
So everything will just roll directly to their main line of the 664-1575.
And so for answering that call, if no one's available, we'll have our own recorded.
So we did things a little differently than what's currently happening in the regulatory world. Because we are just down to two CSS2s, and myself is being pulled in 40 directions, but they will have voicemail available. So the phones are available Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 4:30.
Okay.
If they call before or after hours, they will just get, please call back during regular business hours. We opted out of voicemail during that time frame because back in the day when we had voicemail, you'd come in to 30 or more voicemails, and it would take all day just to get those back and not be able to answer.
And, so, and that's currently the way it is even with DOL's number, right? If you were to call today, it would go to that. As long as it's within those hours, you get voicemail, but if it's after that, you wouldn't get
voicemail. There's currently no voicemail.
No voicemail. Okay, so we're not changing anything. We're just moving.
We're kind of changing it. We're adding voicemail available
for the hours.
Day, 8:30 to 4:30, if they don't, you know, reach a specialist.
Okay.
But before and after hours, there will be no, or on weekends, there's no voicemail. But we've had it in the past, and it worked well.
Is there a chance that the recording could be, you know, go to
BRP? I just
inform
them what the recording needs.
Okay, because we can say, hey, if you're off hours and you want to, please visit our website for blah, 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 and then that would be, at least people can go, oh, okay, I can get access this
time. Yeah, I think right now, the message will just state something like, you've reached the board of professional engineers,
I don't have any other items. If people have very specific questions about what's going on, let me know. If not, we can move on.
All right. Any questions? Okay. All right. Let's go on to Elizabeth. Got anything that's... Nope. Great.
We've heard it.
It's a twist.
Take it.
It's weird to have the Attorney General's report because most of the things that I would say to you guys, I would say in executive session. I mean, they would have to be
so. We could remove this tab if you'd like.
No, I guess we can leave it. But I never really do it. I never say anything during this report.
Well, it's been a couple of times. Can you get his advice on car insurance? Like,
I could, I mean, if you have questions.
Okay. All right. Rolling right along. Other business. Can we even ask, is there any other business? No? We can't?
Well, especially, if, I mean, you can say, that's a good question. We'll talk. Let's put that on our to-do list for the next meeting, right?
Okay.
She needs to get to the airport, and I can go ahead and leave now. I'll give her a ride.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
And you've given me everything I need to take back to Olympia.
You guys have fun in Washington.
Thanks, Steve. You have fun in Hawaii.
Yeah.
We'll try
to
do that. Don't do any breaststroke, though.
Yeah, that's right. All I can do is float.
Float around.
Float around.
Thanks,
Steve.
Good job, everybody, and congratulations.
Take care.
Yep.
This isn't going to be
last.
Okay, you just say that.
No, I thought this was going to be accomplished, though.
Yes.
This process of trials and tribulations. Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Steve.
We're through. Nobody has any other business? We don't have any public. Here for no public, nobody here to publicly comment.
So we get to
action items for this meeting.
me.
That's you.
I had that spreadsheet for Flair's board members. Is that the one for Jill?
Flair's board members. That was the. That was the overall budget that included Polaris line item.
It's attachment to the interagency.
Yeah. It's.
And then I had the 2016 mission statement.
Right. Yep.
And I have Ken on that.
Yep.
And I have Ken and Elizabeth the authorization of expanding funds. Spending funds, sorry. And then staff to prioritize the WACs. And then staff to consolidate as standalone agency to go through.
Board manual.
And then Vonna for the test event.
Got one more. Jim's got to work on some topo questions for the on-site.
Right, get them to Vonna because that's in October, correct?
October 4th.
So I got to move along on that fast. So.
Send
me an email so I don't forget to do it.
I'm supposed to do the research, if it's under professional conduct for state agent, state licensees to do certain things, like do reports and not stamp them, get into much detail.
Yeah.
I also wanted to bring up the, again, maybe you already decided this, but the minutes, whether or not for the next meeting to discuss the minutes, whether to post the minutes.
We're going to put that on the agenda, or can we decide that now?
You don't have to decide it now, but just...
They'd like to decide it now.
Oh, well.
But you have the devices so we can decide that now.
It's not on,
it's not on the agenda.
It's probably the task force, though, and it's not something you're going to vote on. Not task force. What was the thing that we had yesterday?
Oh, I think we're talking about recording. So we put the recordings on
hosting
website.
Or? Yeah.
Those. Oh.
What
they,
are you talking about?
The board would like to not, my understanding is, just put the minutes without recording on the website.
Right.
And if they could decide that now, maybe it's a good place to make that decision, or would you think it needs to be on an agenda for a discussion item?
No, I don't think so. Well... The public may have comment about that, so maybe we should...
We'll have an action item, put it on the agenda for next meeting.
That way we're safe.
Yeah. To have a discussion on just posting the minutes rather than minutes and recording.
And then you also have your mission statement to sign the next meeting. The added language from the
average job. And then Ken and Elizabeth and Shannon and Jill are going to outreach to agencies, continue our outreach to agencies and develop a plan for discussing the processes needing to discuss and the cases that you've been working on. Definition of what engineering is in their agency and when PEs should be engaged in.
I just thought of something that I can I ask Vonna a question. That if we're going to add topographic surveying questions to the exam, and you said Matrix has already been published, so is that should we not do that?
No, it's
not
that's part of the Matrix.
It is part.
Yeah,
of it.
But it's not.
I think it should say
site evaluation.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that we didn't add something that wasn't on the Matrix.
No, we made sure.
Okay, great.
But we're passing those through the SMEs, aren't we? The OSS SMEs.
We'll put them through our SWAT team, Rich Larson, and a couple of the SMEs that work with Rich. Yeah.
I mean,
we're on the deadline, though. So.
Yeah, it'll be like within a week.
Yeah. I mean, it just maintains. It just maintains.
Keeps on.
I have to do it this weekend.
Get those done.
So the
you write your questions and get them through the team and have it completed by the end of August, first week of September, we should be fine.
Okay.
I'm going to be gone for a week.
You guys, you'll have something to do on the airplane.
Yeah, it's basically done. I just have to edit.
In September because I got babies coming, so...
I'll get it done this weekend.
Any other items, action items, or agenda items for next meeting?
Agenda items, we have to have a rulemaking on it. Because we do have some language. Even though I have to come back and refile one of the ones, we do have language ready to go.
Okay.
The board journal should be an action item.
What was that?
The board journal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's
it.
We will
email
that, right? Are we printing the next board journal? What? Are we printing the next board journal, or is it just an
online? I think we're printing it.
Have we?
Or maybe that should be on the app. Maybe with the
app. You're asking me the wrong guy.
We got.
It's $20,000 to print it.
Yeah, that's a lot of
minimum.
And that's not counting postage. Postage alone is $12,000.
$32,000 to print the journal?
It's about $35,000.
And how many people does it go out to?
We 28,000.
Plus, we have a bunch of fire starters from last time.
We have a lot of people that email in saying, I just want this online, I don't want a hard copy.
But I think with our new website, we should be able to have an opt-in or an opt-out. I do get comments. I don't know whether anybody else does, but I do get comments that some people like to get the hard copy. And that's fine. I mean, we went through the same thing with the Lancerier Association.
You're right back to hard copies.
Yeah, we're right back to hard copies through that organization. But, you know, a lot of public agencies don't get... It doesn't hit the public agencies. It hits the licensees within the public agency, so they don't bring it and give it to other people when it's electronic.
Mm-hmm.
It hits their email.
It's worth a further discussion because the 12 boxes of extra journals that we have sitting in the office. What do we do with those? We recycle them.
Why do we have them? Because they're returned?
Because there must have been a minimum print amount.
I think they always do like a 5% over the actual number in case there's any. You want to mail them out? Because we don't mail them out if you don't have the U.S.
contract.
Yeah.
Let's just change the number we're paying.
Because a better way to do it would be to print it and have it with dedicated addresses go right on it off your licensee list.
We give them a list, we give them an Excel spreadsheet, and it goes to the print after we remove all the foreign addresses.
Right.
It goes straight to the printer, and it's a bulk rate. And that's a bulk rate. And so we're going to check into that too because it's a deal.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think that it's worth us discussing if it's, one, if it's environmentally smart, two, if it's hitting the audiences we want, if it's just 5% of our audience that really wants the printed journal, is there a better option to print it? Maybe we let them print it themselves. And, you know,
well, you're generally making it available electronically to everybody.
Right.
So yeah, you can certainly make it available to them.
To print. Yeah, they could print it out themselves, possibly. That's, you know, I just think that in today's day and age with us going, I mean, it's a pretty significant amount of cash to flow for maybe 1,000 people that want to print it. I mean, it's $26 per shot and for those 1,000 people when everybody else would rather have it electronic.
Can you then make it a printer friendly so it doesn't have all of the colors and the graphics?
Absolutely. And that may be the... the selling point to this is we make it so it's printer friendly or on their phone friendly or on their data collector friendly or whatever, however people want it, we can get it there. And I think that that's where, you know, I think it would be wise for us. And then if people, for whatever reason, they absolutely can't print it out, they can't get it, they want it in their mailbox, then maybe I go deliver them like Christmas. You know.
So. You order sales.
Is there an easy way to send a listserv out with a question? Like,
well, the problem is our listserv is only 28,000, less than 10% of our licensees. But,
okay, so we have everybody's email address, right?
We do. We could do that. Well, we can go through another email, and we're trying to move to where we can gain all emails on the listserv, and so making that migration, we're going to, but I'm not sure when we'll get there. However, we do have the email addresses we could send out similar to the monumentation, but that took, I think, Shannon a couple days to send all those out, and that's fine, I guess. I mean, we hire a mail company to print them all and just send them out, not mail, email. Well, person to do that for us.
I'm just asked a question. Do you, just so we get a decent response from the licensees, if they want it printed or not?
Yeah, we certainly
if
can.
If something comes back 75%, I don't want it printed, then we kind of have an answer there.
Okay.
can we do it? Are we always the next electronic copy? So you want a printed copy?
Yeah.
Send an email here?
Yeah, we can.
Then...
whatever works, just get a feel or, I don't know.
Yeah, okay, so let's hold it up. Let's say we may do a non-printed version this time around because of bandwidth of staff, and next time we're going to maybe, before the next one, we would pull some of the licensees to see and try and figure out whether or not we want.
Do you want to generate postcards out to licensees?
So just put on the top of the PDF saying, if you want this hard copy, email this address.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can we, right now where it is online, find out. On the board room online, it says if you want to opt out of screen, printed copy, let me know.
It says that already?
I didn't see it, so I don't know what you're going to do.
But I think having it reverse, having an electronic version and saying, if you want a hard copy, I don't think that's kind of proper way to do it. Do you not think so?
No.
I mean, if I don't check my electronic version, how do I kind of respond to you and say, no, I want a hard copy?
That's right.
I mean, I was going to say that, so I have Gmail, and it sorts everything, automatically for me, so it gives me what it thinks my personal email is, and what it thinks my updates are, and what it thinks is my promotional, and it doesn't, I don't have any control, and so stuff comes in all the time and gets stuck in promotional, and in promotional I probably get 50 emails or more a day, so it could land over there, which wouldn't for me, but some, for some people they may never see it, because it has that auto sort, and it just comes in as another.
Yeah.
So, like you said, you may never know. You may not get it, and so you might ever have the opportunity to opt.
If we do like you said, doing an online version this time because of staff limitations, and then try to do a poll on this new on the online one. Can't we put a survey monkey up there? That says, do you want this printed, or do you want our copy, or are you okay with online?
Just to get a feel from the...
Just to get a feel from
the... But you'll only get the people that look at...
I understand that, but it's better than nothing right now. So.
Again, if you want the kind of people that look at hard copy, the only way you're going to get input from that is to send out a card or something.
I think with this next journal, we should print it just to let people know this will probably be your last printed journal.
Unless
you wash it.
Yeah, like as a cover over, cover over the cover. So
you're a whole page of it.
Yeah, this is your last one. Unless
warning.
One whole page dedicated to it.
We're saving five trees. Mm-hmm. We call it the five tree page.
The DNR is not going to like that.
They won't.
No.
Why?
It always says on the DNR's website, please print this out. Because that's what we do. We sell trees. You know?
Oh. Because everybody has on the bottom of their emails, it, like in our office, everybody says, please don't
name. Except the DNR. Read the DNR at the bottom.
That's so funny. Is it true?
All right.
It's true?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Okay.
Any more?
We move to adjourn.
Here, a second?
Second.
A second.
Well, that was a favor. We're moving to adjourn.
Okay.
We're actually technically, I think, supposed to do that.
Yes, supposed to do that.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting's adjourned.